Morning. Thank you, Janet. We're called to worship. Can we please open our blue hymnal, number 663? We can read that together, and then I'll have a short prayer. The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of you, O Lord, and that I will pursue, to live in your house all the days of my life, to behold your beauty and to seek your temple. Just hold on to your book. Gracious Lord, into the shadows of your isolation, you speak words of life, community, and challenge. You call us from places we call home to lead us more deeply into the world you love. With your gentle, healing touch, you redeem the broken places of our lives and heal the wounded places of the earth. Inspire our worship here this day so that we may receive liberation in your word and be filled to overflowing to share your reconciling love through all the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us join together number 37. 37, Praise to the Lord.
Thank you.
Welcome, everyone, this wonderful summer morning. I've been given the name of one guest, Walter Unruh, cousin of Harry and Kathy Thiessen, who's from here from Waterloo. Did I say it right? Welcome here. Anybody else like to introduce anybody? Welcome here. Let's turn to our bulletins and go through some of the items in this list. And that made me think of a question. Be bold enough. Please raise your hand if you've read this bulletin already on Friday or Saturday. Okay. Then I read it again this morning, and it said on the email that Jacob Franz Workentine came home on Friday already. So I knew a lot of you people already knew that. So we're happy for that. Please continue to think about Louise and Mary Pankratz and Anna Dick as they continue in care, as well as the many members in our extended care facilities. Our sympathies go to Ursula and Ingo Zapp and the passing Ursula's cousin Otto Kleis, age 80, of Yarrow, B.C., on June 24th. Let's continue to keep John and Helen in our prayers, as John will be going for surgery this week. John and Erna Martins need our continued support as another more chemo is happening. Turns out Margaret Kankel had surgery, so we want to keep her in our prayers. And Jacob is home now, recovering. He's showing improvement, which we're happy for that. Again, continue to pray for the Lage family, as well as Terry McKee and the family. Then for, next Sunday, we'll be welcoming a new member into our community, Hans Sawatsky, who's been attending on and off for the last year or two. Please come for that next Sunday. And everybody likes getting their picture taken. We just need somebody to organize a book, it looks like. So please consider that. And for those of you that have not had a chance to call up our pastor, this is the perfect time to call him up and tell him your favorite psalm. He's waiting for that. Otherwise, he's going to call you. Okay. Any other announcements that anybody wants me to highlight? If not, I had another one here somewhere. You may have not smelled something downstairs. Sarah and Kaunhoff and a group from the church would invite everybody to stay for an amazing lunch. Schreiner Schaubelsup, Sommerborscht, and Rollkuchen are on the menu. After church, please go down and be seated at the table. It's going to be community style. If anybody would like to make a donation, the proceeds will be going to the caregiver's community outreach boxes at the back of the church. If there are leftovers, there will be containers. And if that isn't exciting enough, the best thing that they're looking forward to is you guys having fellowship helping clean up. Right? Okay. Any other announcements? Or anybody have anything to share? Gary is willing to run around with a mic. Let's take some time for God and pray. Dear Lord, we gather this morning to praise your holy name. As the psalmist stated, you are our light and salvation. Whom shall we fear? Continue to give us assurances as we walk with you daily. We thank you for your unconditional love that you pour out on each one of us individually and as a congregation. Please forgive us when we fall short in seeking your path in our lives and whenever we fail to show your love to others. Lord, you have heard our joys, our sorrows, our concerns. Be with those who mourn as ones with hope and assurance. Be with those mentioned and those we haven't mentioned that are in need of both medical and spiritual and personal care. May they be able to sense your nearness as you walk with them be with also their caregivers and all of us as we reach out in love. We pray for peace and justice and understanding in our city, our country, and around the world. There are countless events and situations we become aware of through written and visual media. Help us to process what we hear and see, as well as what we experience in our neighborhoods. Give us the hope to be positive influences in our words, our thoughts, and our actions. Dear Lord, bless the words and songs we offer you today, this morning, and bless Pastor Gary as he shares with us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. It's time for children's story. There are a few here. Mrs. White is on summer vacation, so we have a semi-capable fill-in.
So we're talking about something very important, so you have to sit close so we can figure this out together. I was going to ask the young adults to come and join us on this one. I thought they may be good, but we'll give them a bye. So, this is what I want to ask you guys about. Do you know what it means to be in love? What's it mean? You can't stop thinking about him, yeah. You gaze at them the whole day. Yeah. Do people get a little silly when they're in love? Why? How come people change when they're in love? Does somebody, when they're sleeping, reach into their ear and make adjustment in there? So that they think different? No. So what is in love? In love is... Are your parents in love? Yes, they are. Okay. Sorry, halfway through I realized that's not a good question. So here's in love. Your mom says to your dad, "Hey, my family is having a family reunion together." And your dad says, "Oh, I was going to watch hockey, but woohoo, let's go to the family reunion." That's love. A long time ago, I met Carol, she was my wife, she was 6 and I was 8, and we were not in love. We were in the sandbox and we were playing, and I would go to her house lots because her brother was my friend, and she'd come to our house because my sister was her friend. And one day when we were teenagers, all of a sudden, who is this? And everything changed. I knew her very well, played in the sandbox, all sorts of stuff. And all of a sudden, and my friend, her brother, came to me and said to me, "What is the matter with you? Are you crazy? That's just my sister." And it wasn't just his sister anymore. All of a sudden, we were in love. Love changes people, and it's all really cool, and you'll get there quick enough. Right, Mom and Dad? So today, we're kind of talking about being in love with God, which does the same kind of thing to us. We start thinking differently. How come? Who knows? It's just like falling in love with somebody. You just start doing things which aren't normal to do. So I want you to listen really close. And then at lunchtime today, make sure you talk to your mom and dad and ask them about being in love and what that is like, okay? Okay. Or your grandma and grandpa. So before you head back, let's pray, okay? Dear Jesus, we are so glad for the way that you love us very, very much. You sent Jesus, you gave us families, you put us in a wonderful country. There's so many things that we have to say thank you for. Today, as we think about what it means for us to love you, help us to understand how we can do that. Amen. Okay, you can head back. Thanks.
As we take the offering, let us join in song. Number 598 in the blue hymnal, 598. the scripture this morning, we'll be reading Gary's favorite psalm. Psalm 27, verses 1 to 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my home foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his trouble temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord.
It's summer. Isn't that wonderful? You know how I know it's summer? Because we had to get up an hour earlier. And because we don't want to turn the lights on in case it hurts your eyes. We're running a little bit like our stage lights at about 83%, but that's okay. It's nice to kind of be a little calm and enjoy this Sunday. I'd like to invite you to bow with me as we pray before we take a look at the passage. Thank you, God, for the way that you do love us, as we mentioned, for the way that you care about us and walk with us. Thank you also for the way that you have created us with a longing to love you. Be with us as we look at this passage. Amen. So during the summer, we want to look at the Psalms. The Psalms are a little different than the rest of Scripture. A 4th century church leader said, Scripture talks to us, the Psalms talk for us. And I don't know if that's been your experience, but you look through the Psalms when we go through difficult times or excitement, and we find the language of our heart there. It says what we wish we would have thought about. And so we often have Psalms at funerals, for instance. We read Psalm 23 or Psalm 121 or some of the others, or we celebrate with Psalm 103, whatever it might be. It gives language to what's going on in our hearts. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said the Psalms are the prayer book of the Bible. He's written a great book actually called Praying Through the Psalms. Because, as I said, they give language to our thoughts. There are different kinds of psalms. There are Torah psalms, psalms of lament, psalms of praise, psalms of enthronement. But this summer, we're not going to do an overview of the psalms. We're simply going to allow the psalms to speak for us. Today, I'm going to share with you one of my favorite psalms. I've asked you, as John reiterated here, I'm not sure exactly why it's such a threat if I call people, but nonetheless, I'd like to share with you one of my favorite psalms today, and some of you have told me what your psalms are, and I'd like to invite more of you to do that. I'll just check with you ahead of time as to why this is an important psalm for you so that we can approach it appropriately. So let me back up and lead into this in a way that makes sense to me, at least, and since it's my favorite psalm, I get to do that. There are a lot of parts of worship which are very important to me. One of them is theological integrity. We want to read the Bible and listen to what it's saying with some integrity. So we're not proof texting. We're not trying to make it say what we want. We're reading it and saying, what is God speaking to us? For many of us, we use Anabaptist glasses because that's what makes sense to us. Other traditions have a way of looking at it, blessings on them and their children. This is how we look at it. And it's important for us to exercise integrity in that regard. I haven't always seen the Bible as an Anabaptist. I do now. And that, for me, is important to be faithful to that in all that we do. The second one might surprise you a little bit. Another part of worship that's important to me is tradition. I don't mean we're Mennonites, therefore. I mean, it's nice to come to worship to know what's going to happen. We come through the door, you're going to greet some people and smile, we're going to sit down, we're going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to read the Bible, we're going to talk about something, you're going to get a blessing, and we're going to go home. Even in the special ceremonies like child dedication or the Lord's Supper or weddings, funerals, we have a good idea what's going to happen before you come. And again, each tradition is different. And the reason I like tradition is it allows us to focus on God rather than on what's going on. It's not a program. We're not being entertained. It's worship. I like tradition. Third thing that's important for me when it comes to worship is intellectual integrity and honesty. We do not park our brains at the door when we come in. We live in worlds in which we are aware of what science is doing, what medicine is doing, what we learn from anthropology, what we learn from social sciences, and those things inform who we are, and they affect us, and we bring that in the door with us. We don't pretend we're different in here. We are who we are, and we live in the world that we live in. There's also honesty in the sense that we bring to worship our lives. Over the last number of months, we've been talking about that. We talked about mental illness, depression, low self-esteem, death, and there's a bunch that we didn't get to talk to because it felt like we were already sinking pretty low with the topics we addressed. One of the ones that we didn't address was financial struggle. That's one that really kind of pulls people's feet out from underneath them. Another one is troubled relationships, whether that's with a parent, a spouse or partner, a child, a friendship, it doesn't matter. When that has gone south on us, our life changes. It really, really affects us. We bring all of that with us to worship. And it's important to me, and I think it's important to all of us, for us to, when we worship God with honesty. Final thing I want to mention today, there's probably about 26 more, but the final thing is, what's important for me in worship is you. People sometimes say to me, I don't have to worship, to go to church to worship. And I go, but you get to. This is amazing. We get to come to church to sing and pray and listen and struggle together. When we celebrate, we have people around us. Last week, you all celebrated with me that I had become a grandfather. In case you've forgotten, I thought I'd bring it up again. And lots of you talked to me after the service, and I got some cards and all that. It was special for me for that to be part of our worship. Sometimes we go through very difficult times in our lives, whatever that difficulty may be. And we're there for each other. And I see people talking quietly by themselves in the pews after the service or giving each other a hug or whatever might happen. We are here for each other. So all of that condensed to say an important part of worship is community. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Peter. I grew up in a home where faith was important for both my mother and my father. My father became a Christian a little later in life, in his late 20s, and so it was a very real and moderating factor in his life throughout his life. I went to Sunday school from before I can remember, and we used to have Sunday school 12 months a year. No break. We would go on holidays Sunday after church. We would come back Saturday night because we did not want to miss church. This is all terribly important. Went to daily vacation Bible school in summer and clubs in winter. When I got older, I went to youth as soon as I could. Tried to go earlier. They kicked me out. Inter-school Christian fellowship. I led that in school. Very, very involved with the church. About grade 11 or 12, all my peers were getting baptized. And I said no. Well, you'd think I'd done something really bad because I was kind of shunned for a while. But at any rate, I wasn't ready. Something wasn't making sense in my life. So after high school, I went off to Bible school, not as people suspected to learn how to better follow Jesus. I went to Bible school to find out if there was anything worthwhile in this whole Christian thing. When I got there, I landed up with some very, very good friends. And even though we didn't verbalize that they were living with the same thing. Is there something here or not? And I'm not sure how this happened, but we landed up going to charismatic worship services. Are any of you familiar with those? They're amazing. The charismatic movement was just sort of starting to get rolling in the Fraser Valley. And we started going, and there was something there that drew us back. So we went back a few times, and all of a sudden something clicked. And I experienced God in a way that I hadn't before. I'm not saying I wasn't a Christian. I'm not saying everything I needed wasn't at my home church. I'm sure it was there too. I just didn't get it. And all of a sudden, it was like my eyes were opened and I encountered God in a new way. It was like instead of knowing about God, suddenly I knew God. And passages like Isaiah chapter 6 or Revelation 1, where John or Isaiah talk about encountering God, made sense. Before that, I'd read this and say, this is a little weird, right? But all of a sudden, it started to make sense because I had encountered God. And like I said to the kids here before, it's like falling in love. Everything's changed and nothing's changed. That was what I was looking for. Not a charismatic experience, but an encounter with God. I stayed in the Mennonite church because I realized what I was looking for was here. The theology matched and lots of things worked, but I was missing that. And I was thinking as I was playing with this text about whether or not I should share this with you. I mean, it's very personal stuff, but I thought, we've talked a lot about our theology. We've talked a lot about issues in our life. And we've presumed this underlying connection with God. And I think we need to say it. There it is. So I began to try and analyze what this is about. What does it mean? What does it mean to have a relationship with God? And how do we go about doing that? Well, the passage gives us a suggestion. It says, one thing I have asked of the Lord, and this only, it says in the NIV, will I seek. A focus on following God. We talked at the beginning of Lent, the first Sunday of Lent, we looked at Philippians chapter 3. I don't know if you remember the passage. Paul is talking about how all these credentials he has, what a wonderful past he's had. He's been a Pharisee and he's been experienced and educated, all this great stuff. And he said, I count it all garbage against the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. And then verse 10, he says, I want to know him, the power of his resurrection, being made like him in his death. We talked in February about what that means, knowing God. So how do we make this a priority? There's lots of wonderful priorities in our lives. One of the priorities we have is being philanthropic. No, being generous with others. I'm going to get the wrong word here. So we donate our time at MCC. We give generously when Heart and Stroke Foundation comes to the door. We take in exchange students. We do lots of things generously reaching out to our community. It's great, right? Sure. Another priority is safety and security. We put locks on our houses, on our cars, on our churches, on our computers. We put passwords on our phones and hope like crazy we can remember them when we need them. And it lets us live at peace. We go to bed at night thinking, bad people will not walk in my door and steal my radio. I don't know. It's all good. We have a priority on relaxation and exercise. So we make a big deal of joining the curling league or bingo or skating, or we go to dance or cultural events. Or Aruba, and it's wonderful. We get out there, we get exercise, we hang out with other people, we get relaxed, it's all good. Control. We often think of control negatively. Control is a wonderful thing. For those of us who struggle with control, what we're doing is we help make order and put things in line so other people can just step up and off you go. Everything's organized and it's great. Well, there's a whole lot of things, and often we look at them negatively. Don't. They're all good. But what the passage says is don't get rid of everything else in your life. Priority. What's number one? What's number one? This only will I seek. And so what the writer is suggesting is that we need to put a priority on our experience with God. How do we do that? How do you fall in love? Tell me that. Lots of stories here. We have, you're all staying for lunch and you can tell me some of them later. But there are lots of faith traditions which have lots of ideas for us. Some faith traditions are very contemplative. And that's one way to contact God. Some of them are very disciplined about prayer and Bible reading. Some of them are more visual. They're into the arts and structure. And you walk into some of these cathedrals, it just takes your breath away. And you have a sense of God's presence. Or when you see some amazing art, it just makes you stop and watch. Or great music. There's lots of different ways. The point isn't how you do that. The point is that that becomes a passion of your life. Back to being in love. If you say to somebody, I'd like to fall in love. How do I make this happen? They say, well, you know, time, you spend time. You do what the other person likes. You try and bring them gifts. And just a whole list of things. Which one works? Well, for every situation difference, what does it mean to put a priority on God? It means that comes from the depth of our heart and we long to know God. For me, that was the missing piece. That's what I needed, to experience God. And then all the rest of this, the theological integrity, the tradition, the intellectual and honesty thing, the community, all that clicked. When this other one was in place, all important, but I needed that first. What's the outcome of that? Well, the passage tells us three things. Verse one, it says fear is gone. And it tells us three reasons for that. First of all, it says, God is my light. What does light do? Light illuminates. And with the light of God, we see who we are. We see who God is. We see what our life is, what the world is. We understand in new ways. And so the fear is not there. God is my light and my salvation. And we come face to face with the overwhelming love of God, which just washes over us like a wave if we allow it to. It just changes things. And we sit and ponder about how incredibly the creator of the universe reaches out in love to us. Just, it's crazy. And again, as we look at the kind of love that God has for us, we look around, what do we fear? God, the creator of the universe, is in love with us, his creation. And the third thing he does is he says that God, there we go. That we don't need to worry. I love the language that Psalm 18 puts on this. God is my rock, my stronghold, my fortress. And he uses word after word to talk about how God is our anchor. And I love to read that through sometime, especially when it feels like life is kind of shifting on me here. We look at that and we say, God is solid. I read stories of the Christian martyrs. Of many of you as you have come out of Russia and you have a story that talks about how you've gone through such incredible things. Or I look at watch people in our church who are preparing themselves to die. And one of the things that strikes me is that fear is missing. Why are they not fear? Why aren't they terrified when they come to death? And yet they come to death with a sense of peace. Because God is there. They've experienced, they've encountered God. God is their light. God is their salvation. God is their stronghold. Amazing. The second thing it says in verse 2 and 3 is that we have confidence. It talks in there about when armies come against me and when my enemies and the foe and blah, blah. What it's talking about in the Psalms when it talks about those that are against us, it's usually talking about our struggles in life. Well, we've mentioned some of those, but just to reiterate, when our health gives up and we land up with a disease we don't understand or the doctors can't identify. When our significant relationships go south, when people we dearly love hurt us and walk out on us, when finances fall apart, when whatever, we have confidence because God is there. Once again, back to people who are passing away. I don't ever see anybody, at least I haven't experienced this, saying, well, now I better look after my finances here. It's just not important anymore. They've let that go. Or when we take a look at the Anabaptists running for their lives, they just left behind everything. And it was okay because they carried with them what was really, truly important, their relationship with God. The third and final thing that we see is in verse 6. Joy. Joy. You know, when you meet somebody who's in love and you haven't seen them for a while and they are glowing, right? You talk to them and said, what's with you? Forgot to wash your face this morning? No. They're in love. And it just changes things because you see things from a different perspective. And so when we encounter God, we see things from a different perspective. And we find ourselves filled with joy. Do we have struggles in life? Absolutely. Is everything fixed? No. Are new problems going to come up? Without question. But we live with a sense of joy because God is there. And we've fixed our sights on God. For me, that was the journey to experience joy and wholeness in my faith, in my relationship with God. I have seen this in many of you as I sit and we chat over a cup of coffee or whatever. Just this deep rootedness in faith that you have just moves me. And I can hardly wait till I get older so I have that even more. If this is something that's been troubling you, if you need somebody to chat with about that, I'd love to sit and talk to you. Or the person next to you probably would be great too. They also have a story. My prayer for you is that you also would experience the wonder of coming face to face with God. We forget from time to time. Just like we forget that we're in love with somebody and we start getting cranky and we get a little upset and we wish they would be different and why do I have to go to another family gathering? And then we get a little nudge and we're reminded, you fell in love with that person and you've kind of let the temperature go down. Remember your first love, Revelation chapter 2. Remember your first love and we turn up the temperature and it begins to boil again. May you experience the joy that comes from encountering God.
Let us respond in singing number 36, God of our strength, 36.
Thank you.
Go now and live out our song of praise to God. Discipline yourself on all things, however small, so that you may attain the prize of salvation that is yours in Jesus Christ. And may God's powerful blessing uphold you like a mountain. May Jesus Christ touch you and make you whole. And may the Holy Spirit dance with you in the joy of life. We go in peace to love and to serve God. Amen. Let us join together also in our table grace for downstairs. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of sharing a meal as we start our summer season. Bless those who are sharing their inspiration and their preparations with us. Please bless the food and the fellowship you are granting to our nourishment and our strength. Amen. In closing, Janet and Eric have a song for us.